prayer through, how to get a prayer answered, how to get a prayer through. Dear God, teach us this morning how to be effective in our prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the most, if not the most important thing, is our prayer life. You and I need to be diligent, committed, dedicated, and devoted to prayer. Here's a good quote I stumbled across just yesterday. It says, when we depend upon man, we get what man can do. But when we depend on prayer, we get what God can do. I don't know about you, but I don't really have what God can do. So when we depend on man, we get what man can do, Brother Charlie. But when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. So as we talk about prayer this morning, I'm not just talking about any kind of prayer. A lot of us pray quickly and on the go, and that's good. But I'm talking about a prayer that's effective, a prayer that's fervent, a prayer that's heard and answered by our God. Well, from today's text, we're going to be equipped. You ought to leave here today equipped with a revitalized prayer life. It's only two or three points out of the text today, but if you use these points and apply them to your life, it will revolutionize and really revitalize or reinvigorate your prayer life. It starts out in verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12 says, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has a Son, whoever has Jesus has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So really, to have a vibrant prayer life, let me start with step one. Step one is, you got to get in a prayer through, you got to make sure that you have the Son, the S-O-N. You got to make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you this up front. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you can be praying for all kind of stuff, but God ain't hearing and ain't answering that prayer. I don't care how good you sound. I don't care how eloquent it is. I don't care if you're even quoting Bible verses. If you don't know Jesus personally, God is not hearing your prayer. The only prayer he wants to hear from the person that does not know him personally is a prayer of repentance, a prayer of saying, God, I am a sinner. God, I need Jesus in my life. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. The Bible says whoever confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. So the first step to getting a prayer through is to pray the sinner's prayer. To pray, God save me. I want to be a Christian. I want to make sure I have the Son of God. I want to make sure I have eternal life. So that's the first prayer to pray. Basically, verse 12 says it better than I. It says, whoever has Jesus has life. So listen, if you got Jesus, you got life. You got eternal life. Excuse the English, but if you don't got Jesus, you don't have eternal life. It's simple. Simple. You know, if you don't have Jesus, you're just a walking dead person. You know, like those movies, The Night of the Living Dead and all that stuff. And, you know, those TV shows. You're just walking around alive physically, but dead spiritually. I was that way for roughly about 29 years of my life. I was alive physically, but dead spiritually. John says, if you know the Son personally, you got eternal life. You're born again. You're saved. So that's the first thing. First step to getting a prayer through is making sure you got a relationship with the one who answers the prayer. Doesn't that make sense? You got to know God. You got to know Jesus for him to answer the prayer. Verse 13 even says, John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's such an important verse. Verse 13 is one of the most important verses in all of the Bible. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I know where I'm going when I leave planet Earth. I mentioned yesterday I went by a Vantage funeral home where Sister Gaines, their mother, the funeral was there. And as I looked at her body and it had, it was kind of a, I won't say eerie feeling, but it just, once again, just made it so plain to me as I walked in there and her mother was laying down and they had on the casket, it was her body and her casket had Howard class of 80. It's like, wow, that's when I graduated, 1980. you know, death is coming for all of us. You know, it's the point of the man wants to die, and then the judgment. So my John's passionate plea and God's plea, if you will, and even my plea this morning is, you got to make sure, beloved, you got to make sure you know Jesus personally. You got to make sure you have put your belief in Jesus Christ. So let me kind of talk about what type of belief you got to have in Jesus Christ to make sure you are born again. He said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So look, the demons believe in God. The demons believe in Jesus, but they don't have eternal life. The Bible said they believe and tremble, but they don't have eternal life. Probably most of us in here, most of our lives, we've probably quote unquote believed in God, believed in Jesus. So this belief in this verse though, is not just some mere intellectual assent. It's not just some confirmation. So, okay, yeah, I know there is a God. I talk to people quite regularly who are unsaved. They say, well, yeah, preacher, pastor, I believe, yeah, there's a God. I believe there's a God. Just because you believe there's a God, that doesn't mean you know him personally. Let me say that again. Just because you believe or agree that there is a God, that there is a Jesus, doesn't mean you know him personally. Now, see, look, it's more than just quoting some Bible verses. It's more than just walking the aisle one day. It's more, and I was blessed to baptize Ariana last Sunday, and she admitted herself when she got baptized, even though she knew it in her mind, the gospel. She got baptized when she was 7 or 8 years old, but she didn't really get saved until she was 11 years old, 10 or 11, 11 years old. So you can, it's more than just getting baptized, getting put in the water. It's more than serving in the church. It's more than preaching. It's more than being a pastor. It's much more than that. Here it is. It's simply putting saving faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Not of works. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And to God goes all the glory alone. So it's not of works. It's by faith. Now, once you get saved, then you go to work. But people often get it reverse. They try to do, well, you know, I'm trying to get it right. Christian friend, I'm trying to get straight. I'm trying to stop this. I'm trying to do that. And then I'm, no. Bible, Jesus, come just as you are. I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. You come just as you are. Every time I told the Lord back in my sinful days, that, hey, I'm gonna do better. And I really meant it. I'm gonna do better. But I didn't have enough spiritual power. I didn't have enough energy to pull it off on my own. It was only until I said, God, you gotta help me do better. Lord, here I am. I'm messed up. My life is jacked up. Are you the one going to turn me around? It's annoying. It's a belief that says, I'm gonna put my trust in Christ. It's a belief, check this out, that changes your life. It's a belief that changes your lifestyle. It's a belief that changes your way of thinking. It's a belief that turns you and puts you on another path. It's a belief like the old saying, like I just quoted every now and then, when they said, I looked at my hands and they look new. I looked at my feet and they did too. It's a newness. It's a belief that changes your life. It's that type of belief. Hell canceled and heaven guaranteed. I said, hell canceled and heaven guaranteed. Oh, I am in the Christian church this morning, right? Hell has been canceled and heaven is guaranteed. It's a belief that leads to knowing that you have eternal life. See, verse 13 again says, I'm writing to you who believe, who put their trust, their faith in Jesus Christ in order that you might know, that you might K-N-O-W, you might know without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. See, it's not like I think I got eternal life. It's not like I hope I can make it in. It's not like I wonder, I wish I had eternal life. No, you can know, or you should know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Now, that's reason enough to be here this morning, right there. That you can leave here today with an assurance that I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. When I die, and you will die, unless the rapture happens, and when I die, I'm going home to be with the Lord. And not only that, he makes my days here on earth even better. Even when I go through a storm, he can give me peace. Even though when I go through sorrows, he can give me some joy. It's a knowing, K-N-O-W, I know, that you might know. See, some people come to church, they don't know. First John 2:19 addresses them. I preached on it some weeks ago. John says it. He said they meaning the people that were with them, like in the church, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that they would be shown, it would be shown that they all are not of us. John is basically saying everybody whose name is on the church roll, love, fellowship, miracle, or wherever, everybody whose name is on the church roll is not really name, is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody who walked with us, listen to this. Judas, he was one of the 12. He walked closely with the Lord. He was actually the treasurer. And it wasn't like he had all kind of characteristics outwardly that showed that he didn't belong to Jesus. Matter of fact, if you all remember on that Thursday night when Jesus inaugurated the Lord's Supper, Jesus told them, one of you 12 are going to betray me. Then they all pointed to Judas, right? Did I have any Bible readers in the house? They didn't all point to Judas. Matter of fact, they were pointing to themselves. They're like, Lord, is it me? Will I be the one? What are you saying, preacher? What are you saying, pastor? I'm just saying, sometimes everybody looks like they're making it in, but everybody not making it in. I'm just saying, you want to make sure that you're making it in. You want to make sure that you know that you have eternal life. You want to make sure you know. You need to make sure you know. You need to have a no-so relationship with Jesus, not a hope-so relationship, but a no-so. And then John, he goes on and writes, say, hey, everything that I have written to you, those of you who know. So he's writing to the church. He's writing to the Christian. Those of you who know you have eternal life. Again, saints, let me just keep, I'm going to keep reemphasizing that because we're talking about how to get a prayer through. You got to first settle that issue that I do belong to Jesus. I don't belong because I'm so this and that. I belong because I've laid myself at the foot of the cross. I've received him. He has redeemed me. I've been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. So I know I have eternal life. So he said, I've written these things to you, these things. What things are you talking about, John, in verse 13? I've written these things. He's really kind of going back to what all he's been writing in the first four books of 1 John. Things like, I've written these things to you that you might know. K-N-O-W. You know, it's like a self-test, making sure you know you're in the faith. Things like, you got to know that, do you really have a pure love for God? I've written these things that you might know that you know Jesus. If you got a pure love for God, if you got a genuine love for others, if you got a genuine love for God's word and a hunger and a desire to obey God's word, I've written these things, these types of things. Do you know God personally? Do you love God and love people? Do you love his word? Do you have a repentant heart and an obedient spirit? In other words, he's saying, not just be a hearer of the word of God, but a doer of the word of God. John is saying, I'm writing these things to you that you might know. See, you know, we're not the judge. We know that, right? I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. But the word of God is the judge, right? There are certain characteristics. There are certain attributes that a person that's born of God, that a person that's saved, that a person that's a follower of Christ, certain attributes that you and I have. Now, we don't live this stuff out perfectly. No. But if you belong to Jesus, the word of God says you're going to have a hunger and a thirst for Jesus himself. You're going to have a hunger and thirst for God. You're going to be like the psalmist in Psalms 42 when he said, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Only God can put that type of desire in us. I said, only God can put that type of desire. I didn't have that type of desire in me before I met Jesus. These things I've written to you, love, fellowship. That you will know, that you may know, Sister Geraldine, that you may know that you have eternal life. There is, I can't think of any more precious thing to know while you're here on earth. The fact that if you're right with God or not. I'm glad that by the grace of God, once again, I'm glad that by the grace of God, I know I'm right with God. He is my Father. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's still working on me. I'm still under construction, but I'm glad that I'm right with God. I'm glad I have been justified, declared righteous. I'm glad I've been sanctified, set apart. So John, once again, is passionately asking. He wants his hearers to know that you either belong to God or not. Watch this. See, there's no, you know, if you've observed through 1 John, there's no in between. John just lays it out there. It's no in between. It's no straddling the fence. It's no 1 foot in and 1 foot out. No, no. John said either you with God or you're not. 1 John 3:10 even says you either have a child of God or a child of the devil. You know, none of this about, well, you know, I'm not too bad. I'm kind of almost right. No, you're either bad or you with God. It's no in between, you see. It's no dual citizenship. The Bible says it this way. It said blessings and cursings shouldn't come out of the same mouth. You can't live in two houses. You're either in the house of the Lord or you're in the house of Satan. And God wants you and me to experience the assurance of our salvation. So how to get a prayer through? The first thing is, once again, you got to solidify the fact that you belong to God, that you belong to Jesus. You got to solidify that and nail that down. Say, I'm his. I belong to him. You know, prayer is so important to the Christian. It's like oxygen to the lungs. You and I, prayer is like a lifeline to the Lord. I mean, we need prayer privately and corporately. You know, corporate prayer is a part of, our Sunday morning church worship. It's when the saints of God come together, we pray together corporately. It's not a substitute for your private prayer. Some people, we used to tease, a friend of ours, when I was a member of New United, we had a lot of preachers, those of you who were there, remember, we had a lot of ministers. So one of our minister friends, our pastor, Pastor Holloway, he didn't let us preach too much. So one of our preacher friends, every time he get up to preach publicly, he preach a sermon. He said, brother, you can do that at home. You should have been praying at home. He preached like forever. He preached a sermon. So when we come together corporately, we are to pray. Yeah, but pray at home, too. Don't just wait till you get to church. Well, I hadn't prayed all week, so I'm going to pray 30 minutes here today. No, you should have prayed 30 minutes yesterday or on Friday. So we pray individually. We pray privately, but also we pray corporately. When we come together, we pray. We pray in love fellowship, with the building. We don't lay this out just say, well, we're going to figure out how we can fill in some space here. No. I believe in prayer that, we open up service in prayer. And we pray several times through the service with prayer. We had an altar prayer. We just pray. One of the missionaries who visited with us a couple of years ago that we were blessed as a church to help support, he's in different churches almost every week. And he said, man, I'm really blessed. I really appreciate how you all pray quite a bit through service. He said, a lot of churches, they don't holler pray. Now, he didn't say they didn't pray at all, but maybe they open up with prayer and close with prayer. And I'm not saying you got to pray X number of times in your service. I'm just saying it is important for the people of God to come together to pray. When we pray, like even the altar prayer or when we pray before the offering, be praying with us. We're lifting up our voices to God. It's important to pray to God corporately. The people of God, when you read the Bible, in Acts chapter 1, people were on one accord in one place, and they were praying to God, and then the Holy Spirit came. I mean, it's important to pray together as the people of God. Matter of fact, saints, every noon from Monday through Saturday at 12 o'clock, we have a prayer line as a church. You can call in on the prayer line. Call in sometime. You don't have to pray. You can just call in and listen. Call in and say amen. Each Wednesday night at 6:30, we have prayer here in the house of the Lord. You can, at 6:30, we have prayer here in the house of the Lord. The first Sunday of every month, on the first Sunday of every month at 9 o'clock, we meet for prayer. We even have a prayer room that our sister Toya set up for us. We even have a prayer room. So prayer is important. I said prayer is important. Let me say it a little different. Corporate prayer, combined prayer, the people of God coming together, that's very important. That's very important to pray together. To pray together. Let me say this too. As we talk about how to get a prayer through, let me say this up front. I plan to say it again. God is not like some little genie in a bottle. This is not some sermon how we can try to manipulate God. But I'm just saying, as a Christian, every time we pray, as a Christian, if you got Jesus, if you got eternal life, every time you and I pray, God hears our prayers. Now, he answers our prayers. He may not always answer in the way that we think he should or the thing, sometimes he says yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait, but he always answers prayer. Let me say that again. He always answers the prayers of his people. Listen to this. Let me give you an example. Y'all not going to like me for this one. Let me give you an example. Paul had that thorn in the flesh. We don't really know what the thorn in the flesh was. We don't know. They've written all kind of commentaries and books about it. Let's just tell you, we don't know what it was. It was a thorn in the flesh. It was something that gave him problems. And he prayed about it 3 times. God, this thing is bothering me. Give me some relief. Help me with this thing. Help me. And Paul was a very godly man. As I look at the Bible, he's about one of the most godliest men in the Bible. He prayed 3 times. God, remove this thorn. Guess what God said? God said, no, I ain't gonna move it. He said, but, God said, but, I hear you, Paul, but I'm not gonna remove it. But my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. How many of y'all thank God for sufficient grace? We just sang about amazing grace. God has some amazing grace, some sufficient grace. He has sufficient grace. He's not going to always remove the ailment, but he has sufficient grace to allow you to endure whatever you're dealing with. I got to stay there for a minute. He has sufficient grace to allow you to endure whatever you're dealing with. He gives you sufficient grace. He has sufficient grace. I mean, he has sufficient. I can think about some specific things I prayed about, and God said, no, I ain't gonna remove it. And guess what? Guess what? He didn't remove it, but guess what? Years later, his sufficient grace has been enough to allow me to deal with it. Oh, y'all not hearing me. God has sufficient grace. So he may not remove it, but he does give us grace to endure. See, when you and I pray, he doesn't always change the circumstance or the situation, but watch this. He can change your heart and your attitude toward it. So when you're praying, he's working. He might just be working on you. Might just be working on me. He might not work on him or her or that situation. It might be still a jacked up situation. But guess what? He can work on you. He can strengthen you. He can change your attitude toward that situation or toward that person. He can do that. You gotta pray. You gotta pray. So how to get a prayer through? You gotta first make sure you know Jesus. You gotta make sure you're born again. You gotta make sure you're saved. First of all, I'm trying to get a prayer through. You know, sometimes people say stuff. We say stuff. I know we say stuff and we don't really think about what we're saying and we know what we kind of mean. But sometimes people are like, be careful who you ask to pray for you. Like they can put a hex or something on you. Be careful who you ask to pray for you. Well, if they ain't right with God, they can pray a million times. They ain't gonna bother you. Just throw it out and say, pray for them. And if they're right with God, that prayer will get through and be effective. And if they're not right with God, they don't know God, don't even worry about it. You can have who you had to pray for you. No. So yeah, how to get a prayer through. First thing is make sure you know Jesus. Make sure you have eternal life. Make sure you have a son in your life. We see that in verse 11, 12, and 13. Make sure you know him. The one who is hearing the prayer. Make sure you know God. Then secondly, and this all kind of goes together. It's kind of like a 2 and a 2A. We got to pray. Cause I'm talking about how to get a prayer through. We got to pray. Here it is in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, toward God, toward Jesus. That if we ask anything, listen though, here's a quantifying statement. That's why you got to be careful with saints when you study the Word of God, when you read the Word of God. We can't just be grabbing stuff out of context. I can't be talking about, well, anything I ask God, he going to do it. No, the Bible says anything we ask according. Do I have any English majors in the house? According means there's a stipulation. I can't just say, well, God, I'm going to go out here tomorrow. And let's see, I want me a Lamborghini. Or I want me a private jet. I'm going to be one of those pastors or preachers with a private jet. What I look like with a private jet, number one. You can't just ask God for anything and think he's going to give it to you. This is not name it and claim it, nab it and grab it, call it and haul it. No, none of that. But anything we ask him, look, saints, he's saying ask me now. He's not saying don't ask, but he said anything you ask me, Sister Francis, according to his will, he hears us. According to his will, he hears us. So when you're talking about trying to get a prayer through, look, saints, we got to figure out, okay, what is the will of God, right? If he's telling me anything I ask him according to his will, he hears me. I need to kind of figure out what is the will of God. People ask that question all the time. Well, guess what? Where do you find out the simple black and white, clear cut will of God? Where would we look? If you were looking for the will of God, where would you look? In the Word. Here it is. There's no hidden secrets. You find the will of God in the Word of God. Y'all with me? You find the will of God in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you some specific non-negotiable things from the Word of God real quickly. And what you do, you take those principles and you apply it to all of your prayer life. Because, for instance, I mentioned cars earlier. So say if you needed a car and you're looking around and you're looking at different cars and you go to Honda and you talk to Brother Chris Hardaway and you figure out, should I get this car or that car? You're not going to go, oh, I'm trying to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10 and say, yeah, get the Honda Accord. No, you're not going to find it in the Bible. Or the Honda Civic. But you will find principles, right? That you can apply and say, okay, God, should I get this car? Should I take this job or that job? Or should, you know, so these non-negotiable black and white things in the Word of God helps to guide us in all of our prayer life for all situations. Does that make sense? So let's look at a few of these non-negotiable things that's the will of God. Now, obviously, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some clear-cut things where the Bible says this is the will of God concerning you. So you're talking about trying to get a prayer through. You got to make sure, you and I got to make sure we line up with this will of God for my life, for your life. Things like in John 17:11 says this. Jesus is praying. He says, Holy Father, keep them. He's talking about his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and those guys. He said, keep them in your name, which you have given me, these disciples. Here it is, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's what Jesus is praying to God, Sister Jean. And then he goes on in verse 21 and talks about us. He said, make them be one, even as we one, as we are one, Father and Son. So here it is. One thing about the will of God is God wants you and I, the will of God, the will of Jesus is unity amongst the brethren. He wants us to be as one. Jesus prayed that in John 17. So he's talking, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is for us to strive, as Romans said, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. So the will of God concerning God, will of God concerning you and me is to be at peace with all brethren. So watch this. It's very simple. If you're causing strife amongst the brethren, or if you got all kind of unforgiveness in your heart toward a brother or sister in Christ, if you got all this stuff down in your life toward a brother or sister in Christ, guess what? Your prayers are not in the will of God. Your prayers will be hindered. Does that make sense? So you say, oh, what is the will of God? Well, the first thing the will of God is for me, as much as it depends on me, and I'm talking, not talking about living, you got to live a perfect sinless life. Don't hear me wrong on that. But as much as it depends on me, I'm fostering a brotherhood with the brother. I'm fostering unity amongst the brethren. Because Jesus prayed that in John 17. He prayed that for the will of his church, that we would walk as one, as he and the Father are one. So that's one thing. The will of God is for us to be walking in unity. Y'all with me this morning? Psalm 66:18 says it this way. He says, if I hide or if I regard iniquity in my heart, listen, saints, the Lord will not hear. So as a Christian, as a born again believer, if I'm hiding some stuff in my heart, hiding sin in my heart, like I can hide it from God. I can't hide it from God. I can hide it from you, but I can't hide it from God. If I'm hiding some stuff in my heart, the psalmist said, hey, God will not hear. The only prayer he's waiting is, okay, God, I've been hiding this lie in my heart for the last couple of weeks. Now, here it is. I confess it. Now he hears and answers that. But if you got hidden stuff in your heart, God will not hear your prayer. So if there's a disconnect in your prayer life, that's one place to examine. Well, two places. First of all, start out for some under the sign of my voice. It might be, hey, you don't even have a relationship with God. You don't have a relationship with Jesus yet. Start there. But if you do have a relationship, if you are born again, if you are saved, but your prayers are being ineffective, say, God, do I have some hidden stuff in my life? Because sometimes we do and don't even really know it. Now, sometimes we got stuff packed down and then we know it's in there. Like, Lord, I know this there. I'm just going to hold on to it. I don't want to let it go yet. I know it's in there. But sometimes we don't know. God will show you. I said, God will show you. Can I get a witness? God will show you. He will show you. Listen what he says in Isaiah 59:1-2. Because once again, I'm talking about how to get a prayer through. First, you got to know Jesus. Secondly, you can't be harboring or hiding sin in your life. You got to be seeking to foster unity amongst the brethren. So Isaiah 59:1-2, you can write these down and read them later, says, behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But listen, saints, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So what are you saying, Isaiah? Isaiah is saying, now God, it's not like God's arm is too short and he can't pull you in. It's not like God's ear is too dull. He's saying your sins have caused a separation between you and your God. He's saying because of your sin, God has literally hidden his face from you because of your sin. So saints, to get a prayer through, here it is. If you're taking notes, you got to deal with the sin issue. You got to deal with the sin issue. Now, I'm not talking about you got to like live perfectly and never sin. Hear me wrong. Don't hear me wrong. I'm talking about that unconfessed sin. I'm talking about that unrepentant sin, some stuff that's in your life that you just, you know, you're flipping about and say, I'm going to keep on. I'm going to do this anyway, or I'm not going to do this. You just disobedient. God said, I see that sin. And until you and I deal with that sin, I'm not even hearing you. The same prophet Isaiah said, listen to what God says. It's like almost he's begging us. He said, come now. Let us reason together. That's what he says to his people. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them whiter than snow. God is saying, just come clean. Just come clean with that stuff. I see it, and you know, you wallow it. Just come clean. I'll clean it up. 1 John 1:9. If we just confess our sins, agree with God that I did sin, I messed up, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't be thinking that or whatever. Confess your sins to God. He is faithful. 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 Anybody know about anybody? You gotta get a witness. He is faithful. He is just. He is true to forgive us of our sin and listen to this and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If I took a microphone and went around this auditorium this morning, all of us have done some stuff that was crazy, that was messed up, that was jacked up. We said, man, how did I do that? Why did I do that? And you went to God, and God, as only God can do, forgave you and cleansed you of all unrighteousness. He is a cleaning up God. He can clean up some stuff. He can clean up your heart. He can clean up your mess. He can clean up stuff behind you, in front of you. He can clean up some stuff. And then sometimes he may leave some consequences there. He still can give us the grace to get on with through the consequences. But Isaiah said, God, so your prayers aren't getting through because your sin. God has hidden his face from you. As I was reading that earlier this week, I said, man, that's like a very horrific type of thought. That God would, like, in essence, kind of turn his face from you. Kind of like what he did with Jesus on the cross, when our sins, my sins and your sins were on Jesus. And the Bible said Jesus cried out to God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because of your sin and my sin. God is a holy God. God don't commingle and hang around with sin. The only thing God really wants us to do with sin is confess it, repent of it, and he can and will forgive us. Can I get a witness? He can and will forgive us. And when he forgives you, you need to go and forgive yourself. So, okay, God, yeah, thank you for forgiving me. Then go on, forgive yourself and move on. So God wants us, the will of God for you and for me is to keep short accounts. So the key is to keep short accounts with him by dealing often and regularly with this sin issue. See, repentance and confession of sin is really the friend of the Christian. You know, you don't become like, well, that's confession and repentance of sin. That's really like the friend of the Christian. Because you're going to sin. I don't get it out as an excuse to sin, but I'm just saying, you gon' sin. I'm gon' sin. So when you sin, just always like, go and confess it. Say, God, I blew it. Help me not to do it the next time. Show me, you know, ways out. You know, one thing sin does, it clogs, hear me well, it clogs the communication between you and God. Now, anybody in here that's married or got any other type of good friendship relationship or something, when you and your buddy or you and your spouse have a little issue and you don't resolve that issue, it can clog up some communication. Let me say that again. It can clog up some communication. Anybody want to be honest with you? It's more, it can clog up some communication. And with your buddies and stuff, sometimes something happened, you know, and you know, a little issue there, you don't resolve that, man. Y'all don't talk for weeks and weeks and weeks. Sin can clog up some communication. So God is just saying, hey, sin clogs up our communication. So you just confess it. Go on and lay it out there. So the will of God, here it is, the will of God. We're going to put it on the screen. We're going to put it on the screen, give you a few things. We're going to run through these kind of quickly. Again, the will of God, because again, saints, I'm talking about how to get a prayer through, right? Y'all want to get a prayer through, right? I want you to have an effective prayer life. I want this church to be an effective praying church. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 22 is what we're going to look at. And it starts actually in verse 12. But people, once again, I'm talking about, well, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? Well, here it is. Once again, non-negotiable right here in the word of God. Let's just take what God says. He says, it's on the screen. He said, and we urge you, brothers, here's the will of God. Here it is. Admonish the idle or admonish the lazy. Tell them stop being lazy. Encourage the faint-hearted. So see, these are some of the things you need to be doing or striving to do regularly to be in the will of God. That your prayers might be more effective. Help the weak. Y'all see that? Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all things. What does it say next, saint? For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus concerning you. In Christ Jesus for you. So let me run back through these real quickly. Talking about what is the will of God? Well, one thing God said, tell the lazy folks don't be being lazy. Then he said, encourage the faint hearted. Then he said, this is my will for you, saints. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. How's your patience these days, saints? The Lord said, be patient with them all. Then he said, don't be paying back evil for evil. Don't be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. No, be more like Jesus. Turn the other cheek. Don't pay back evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, just said the Lord. So don't pay back evil for evil. And then he goes on and says, seek to do good to one another. And then he says, just in case you miss it, seek to do good to everyone. So he said, seek to do good, not just to your brothers and sisters in Christ, but he said, seek to do good to everyone. Y'all reading that with me? Seek to do good to everyone, he says. And then he says, here's the will of God. He said, rejoice always, or always rejoice. Then he says, pray without ceasing. Always be in a mindset of prayer. And then he says, this is the will of God. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. And then he goes on and says, do not quench the spirit. The Holy Spirit. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies or preaching, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So once again, the will of God for you and for me, the will of God right there in those few verses, we are to admonish the lazy. We are to encourage the faint-hearted. We are to help the weak. We are to be patient with others. We don't repay evil for evil, but we seek to do good to others. And then watch this. As a Christian, as a saint, God says, rejoice always. Let me say that again. God said, rejoice always. Even in the midst of tough times, God said, rejoice. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And then always he said, pray without ceasing. Stay in a mindset of prayer. Always be in a mindset of prayer. As I mentioned last Sunday, I know I told several people this week, some Jehovah's Witnesses came by my house this past week. I was kind of bragging last Sunday about how they didn't come by my house. They skipped over my house. Oh, he a preacher. We ain't gonna mess with him. And them jokers rolled up on me this week though. I was trying to get in my car, trying to go somewhere. They, oh, excuse me, sir. I said, all right, let me start praying. I did. I started praying. I knew who they were. It was hot out there and stuff. We talked. And we talked for a while. We really did. They told me what they believe, and I told them what I believe. And then the little lady, she was taking notes, and they said, well, sir, we know you kind of trying to go somewhere. And can we come back? I said, yeah, y'all can come back. Then they're like, we're going to send Elder so-and-so back here to see. Guess she's going to get a little more ammunition. I told him, come on back. Deacon B, I told him, come on back. As long as, you know, you just listen to me and I'll listen to you. So I learned right there. I need to always be praying without ceasing. I need, Lord, give me some insight. They got some good little stuff. That stuff sounds good. It's almost like our stuff. I said, it's almost like our stuff. Almost like our stuff. I just told you, John, just told you, ain't no almost. You either in or you're not in. You either with the Lord or you're not with the Lord. So we have to pray without ceasing. We have to always give thanks. We have to abstain from evil things. We have to hold on to what is good. We have to hold on to what is good. Too often the Christians, see, we quench the spirit. The easiest way, the primary way that you and I quench the spirit, it's basically like pouring water on a fire. The quickest way that we quench the spirit is with sin, unchecked sin in our lives. When we allow sin to just build up in our life. That's like quenching the spirit. We're told to not quench the spirit, not grieve him. So don't quench the spirit. That's part of the will of God. The will of God is for us to not to quench the spirit, not to like pour a water on the fire of the spirit. That's the will of God concerning us, his sanctification. See, as we pray, saints, now I'm almost through. We pray in faith, and we are to pray with patience, and we are to pray in obedience and in submission accordance to God's greater wisdom, submitting to his will. Let me say that again. When we pray, as you and I pray, I'm talking about how to get a prayer through. As a Christian, this message, these verses, I'll just kind of revitalize your prayer life. We pray in faith. That as we pray to God, God hears us and he answers us. And we pray with patience. Don't just pray for something one time. I prayed one. Like I keep telling y'all, I keep mentioning, he's on my mind, I guess. I keep mentioning my nephew's son, so my great nephew. He's in prison. He's in jail. And I, you know, I've prayed for him a few times, but I need to be laboring in prayer daily for Jawan. That's his name. I need to have him before the Lord every day. God, I know you hear me. Jesus, I know you hear me. And you know, he doesn't know you personally, Jawan, but I'm interceding for him. I'm praying to you. You can get him out of jail. You can change, more importantly, you can change his heart. You can change him. Keep him in jail if you need to keep him in jail, but you can change his heart and change his mind. So we need to pray with patience. We need to pray obediently, and we need to pray in submission to God's will, to his greater wisdom. You know, Jesus, he prayed three times. He gave us a perfect example, kind of like Paul. Jesus prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, if there is any way to remove this cup, but nevertheless, not my will, there it is, saints, not my will, Jesus said, but thy will be done. Now, Jesus, he's all God and all man, but yeah, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If anybody could have prayed to God, Jesus, God, do it this way, because I'm Jesus. No, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. So as we pray, saints, we humbly bow under the omniscience of God, because check this out. None of us know what's going to happen 1 second from now. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us know what's going to happen next week or next year. So why not let God, who knows all that stuff, put in as we pray, trying to pray in his will, just submit to whatever, how he works that out. I've heard this type of story told quite often on people, true story, like a person might be trying to get this a promotion, trying to get this new job, and it didn't go through. And, you know, freshly, kind of almost got a little bitter with God. God, why I didn't get that job? Okay, I didn't get. Then meanwhile, about a few weeks later or a month or two later, they come through, and that position that you would have had, after that position that you would have had, they cut that position. They riffed them, reduction in force. They go, so, oh, okay, God, I see why you blocked it. God knew that, right? God knew that. You didn't know that, but God knows that. So as we pray to God, we submit to his will. Because ultimately, whatever he does, saints, in your life and in my life, it's for his good. It's for his glory. Rather, it's for his glory and for your good. So we got to learn, once again, to submit our will to the will of the Father. And we know every good and perfect gift comes from him. But he hears the cries of the saints. He hears our cries, saints. So don't grow weary in praying. Don't grow weary. So I've been praying for that for weeks or months or years. I'm just been praying. No, don't grow weary in well doing. Keep on praying. Keep on calling on the name of the Lord. Keep on petitioning God. Keep on landing at the feet of God and know that he's going to work it out in a way, once again, that gives him glory and ultimately for your good. Be like Anna, the prophetess. The Bible says she stayed in the temple praying and fasting day and night. And check this out. She got a chance to see the baby Jesus, the Christ child. She got a chance to see him. Think about it. Raise your hand if you have a to-do list. You know how you might, I often do the to-do list. Any of y'all do a to-do list? Got a few hands going up. It's no trick question. How about, here's the trick though, I guess. On that to-do list, how high is prayer on your to-do list? Let's be honest. Prayer should be at the first of that to-do list. I want to pray. I'm talking about, you know, putting out some time aside to pray to God. I like to think most of us probably pray to him throughout the day. Like when I get in my car, I'm praying, God, give me safe travel. Where am I going? God, when you're getting ready to eat, Lord, bless this food. So I'm not talking about necessarily those type of prayers. Keep praying those prayers. I'm talking about setting aside some time to spend with God. to spend with Jesus. And I don't know about you, prayer is work. I'm the only one being honest this morning. Prayer is work. Prayer is hard sometimes. I'm talking about really praying. I start trying to pray sometimes. I'm really praying. My mind started wandering stuff. Phone started going off. All kind of stuff started. All hell itself started caving in. Because the devil don't want to see you and me praying. I'll let you read your Bible just a little bit. I'll let you go do this and go there. But when you start praying, all kind of stuff started happening. Prayer is hard. I mean, it's amazing. I'm studying this week and working on this sermon on prayer. This probably, I'll just be honest, this probably been one of my worst prayer weeks in a while. And then it dawned on me, well, okay, this is spiritual warfare. I'm trying to prepare a sermon on prayer, so the enemy gonna try to keep blocking me from praying. But when we do pray, saints, when we do pray effectively, prayer changes things. Again, prayer changes things. Yeah. Maybe let me just give you a few examples of how prayer can change things. I'm just going to give you a few examples. Once again, to make sure you get a prayer through, you got to first know Jesus. You got to have a certainty in your life, your heart and mind that you are born again, that you have eternal life, that you've been saved, you've been redeemed, you've been washed in the blood. That's the first thing to make sure you get a prayer through. Make sure you got a relationship with the prayer answering, right? But then also, saints, make sure that you're keeping short accounts with God. You know, dealing with the sin issue, making sure you're living according to the will of God. Some of those expressed things I mentioned out of 2 Thessalonians, some of those expressed things about giving thanks to Him and not doing evil for evil and those things. Make sure that you're striving to live those ways. Those things will help you in your prayer life. And then God said something like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, listen to what He said, my people who are called by my name, we'll have to say this on the prayer line, will humble themselves and pray and seek my, this is a promise from God, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sins. And then I will heal their land. And your land could be your family, could be your own life, could be on your workplace. But God said, just turn from your wicked ways. Seek my face. Repent of your sins. And I will hear from heaven. Oh, somebody missing that. God said, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive you of your sins and I will heal your land. Hebrews 4:14 says this. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Jesus, He's at the right hand of God the Father right now. Right as I'm preaching, He's praying for you and me. That ought to encourage you in your prayer life, because when I'm praying, I'm not just throwing some stuff out there in the air. I'm praying to God. I know that Jesus hears me and He's interceding for me. And even Romans 8 says that the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes when we pray. Because sometimes I don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray. What we should be praying for. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts and He Himself, Romans 8 says, intercedes for us. So don't tell me you can't get a prayer through. If you know Jesus, you can get a prayer through. If you know Jesus, we can get a prayer through. Psalms 34:15-19 says this, the eyes of the Lord. Psalms 34:15-19 says, the eyes of the Lord. I love that imagery. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. As a Christian, we've been declared righteous. So we in that category. And His ears toward their cry. Then it says, the face of the Lord, listen to this, is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of those from the earth. But when the righteous cry for help, I said, but when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. I said, the Lord hears. He hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Let me read that again. Somebody missed that. When the righteous cry out for help, the Lord, our God, hears and He delivers them out of all. Can I get a witness? Out of all their troubles. He's a delivering God. And not only that, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm just saying many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. You here this morning because God has delivered you out of all your afflictions. You're here this morning because God has brought us through and you didn't even think you were going to make it yourself. God brought you through. Jesus brought you through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Just ask King Hezekiah. God sent the prophet Isaiah down to Hezekiah's house. God told Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah to get his house in order. It's time for me to bring him on home. And then Hezekiah, when he got that news, he got kind of distraught and he said, well, Lord, and Hezekiah began to pray. Y'all don't hear me. Hezekiah began to pray. He said, God, I've been trying to be a righteous king. I've been trying to be a good guy, good dude. I'm not quite ready to come on home yet. And he was praying to God. He poured out his heart to God. Now God has sent Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, it's time for you to come on home. Hezekiah poured out his heart to God. And then the prophet Isaiah left out of the house and couldn't even get to the parking lot good. I said, he couldn't even make it to his car in the parking lot. God said, go back and tell him, I'm going to add 15 more years to his life. Y'all not hearing me. God said, I'm going to add 15 more years back to his life. And Hezekiah said, man, this prayer thing works pretty good. Some enemies came against Hezekiah. Y'all know who I'm going to say. God, I like saying his name. King Sennacherib came against Hezekiah. And he was talking all that noise. He said, we're going to come down. Hezekiah, we're going to get you and we're going to wipe y'all out. Hezekiah said, oh, all right. I know how to get a prayer through. Hezekiah he went to the temple, the Bible said. He laid the letter out before God. And he basically said, God, this guy, this fool down here talking all this noise against you. And God basically, don't worry about it, I got it. The next day, the Bible says, when Sennacherib came with his 185,000 soldiers, the Bible said that the angel of the Lord came and took out all those 185,000 soldiers. Don't tell me my God can't hear and answer prayer. Don't tell me my God can't hear and answer prayer. There was another case. There was one time there was some fire around the people of Israel and Moses. There was a fire around him. And the Bible said Moses prayed. He prayed to the Lord and the fire died out. I said he prayed to the Lord and the fire died out. You can't put our God in a box. Sometimes he calls the fire to die out. Sometimes he calls the fire to raise up. But he is God. He is God. He is God. One time Abraham prayed to God and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. Our God hears and answers prayer. I'm just talking about how to get a prayer through. Sister Hannah. Anybody know about Sister Hannah? Sister Hannah was barren and couldn't have children. And in the biblical days, when you couldn't have children, it was kind of like people looked at you like you were cursed. And Hannah was just distraught. And Hannah began to pray to God. I said, Hannah began to pray to God. She said, God, if you bless me with bless my womb, bless me to have a child, give that child back to you. And guess what? How many of y'all know that Hannah, next thing we know, Hannah got pregnant, had a son by the name of Samuel. And next thing we know, Hannah did what she said. Once she weaned Samuel, she took him on to the temple and gave him back to the Lord. Our God hears and answers prayers. I said, our God hears and answers prayers. How to get a prayer through? You can get a prayer through, saints. Make sure you know Jesus. Make sure you're striving to live according to his will, and you can get a prayer through. I think I've shared this with you all one time, and I shared this and I take my seat. I remember I used to work for TVA, and we were working in Warehouse Row, and I had been working a lot of overtime, and man, I was just mentally just stressed out and just tired, and it was one afternoon, and I was just at my cubicle and I just wasn't getting anything done, Brother Visa. I said, Lord, I need a break, and I'm just burned out, and you just somehow give me a break. Now I'm working for TVA. TVA generates some power. Are y'all with me? Y'all not with me. So here it is. I'm working for TVA, a power company. I'm praying to God. God, give me a break. Man, I'm just stressed out. Man, I can't write a program. I'm just messing up. Next thing I know, at Warehouse Road, working for TVA, who generates some power, the power went off. Y'all not hearing me. The lights went out. The night the lights went out in Georgia. The lights went out in Tennessee, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so here it is. I got a computer. I guess they didn't have a backup generator. And so we didn't have any power. And so I said, wait a minute. I'm a computer programmer and I'm here at a computer with no power. Next thing I know, my little manager came by. He said, well, since y'all can't do any programming, y'all can just go on home. I left there rejoicing. I said, my God. I'm working for a company that got some power, but my God knew that one of his children needed a little rest. So he has all power. He shut down TVA because they just have some power. But we serve a God who has all power, and you can get a prayer through. He does hear and answer your prayers. And even when he says no, even when he says wait, guess what? His grace is sufficient. So I'm not going to tell you he always says yes, but when he says no, his grace is sufficient. sufficient. I said his grace is sufficient. Anybody want to thank God for sufficient grace? His grace is sufficient. He will give you power in the midst of your weakness. He can make you strong. In the midst of your tough time, he will strengthen you. He can give you grace in those tough times. In the school system this year, he can give you grace in the school system this year. On your job this year, he can give you grace on your job. His power is perfected in our weakness. You can get a prayer through. I said, you can get a prayer through. You can get a prayer. Just make sure you know Jesus and walking according to his will. And you can get a prayer through. So stand on your feet. I'm through. But get a Lord a hand clap of praise that you stand on your feet. How to get a prayer through? Make sure you got a relationship with Jesus. Make sure you're striving to walk in the will of God. He hears and answers our prayers. I say he hears and answers our prayers.